Once again, we consider the words of this great benediction found in Hebrews 13, 20 through 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. How very full and overflowing are these words of blessing, this benediction, and all others like it to the people of God. And they're not just words, are they? Because they are coming from God, who calls those things that are not as though they were. God blesses you. God blesses you. The people of God, this very God of peace. And by his blessing, he makes you perfect in every good work to do his will. Now, we have, in the Thanksgiving services, at least of the last two communion seasons, begun to look at this benediction, breaking it down into the various pieces. We've already studied the opening clause, now the God of peace, and then last time, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. Now, third, we consider that this God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that Lord Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep. Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. The God who blesses you does it in and through Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep. First, he is that shepherd of the sheep by his nature and office. By his nature and office. Second, by his saving works that he has performed in and behalf of his flock. Jesus is that great shepherd of the sheep. First, by his nature and office. In ancient societies, the figure of the shepherd was more common than it is now. Since the Industrial Revolution, there's been a great shift within society. Instead of most people living out in the country, most people live within towns and cities and urban areas. Nevertheless, the imagery of the shepherd is still a very powerful and evocative thing for us. And God, we know, is the great shepherd. The Lord's my shepherd, I will not want. I will have no lack. Why? Because my shepherd is none other than God. Now, throughout all the pages of the Old Testament, it is very clear that Israel's shepherd of old is none other than the Lord. Jacob confessed that the Lord was his shepherd. In Genesis 48 and verse 15, and he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day. There is gray-headed, wrinkled, no doubt stooped over Father Jacob, but his heart is blessed. His heart is blessed. And it doesn't matter how old you become. If you're a sheep under the great shepherd, you are blessed. But how wretched a thing it is to grow old and to face eternity without him. Jehovah was Israel's shepherd of old. We have sung Psalm 80, verse 1. Hear, Israel's shepherd, like a flock, thou that dost Joseph guide. Or Psalm 95 and verse 7. The church confesses, the church of the old covenant, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. However, what we see develop in the Old Testament, especially into the prophets, is we see Jehovah as the great shepherd, but something is developing, something is being revealed. Look with me at Ezekiel chapter 34. In Ezekiel chapter 34, God is through the prophet, painting a picture about the distressed condition of his sheep, that they are without a shepherd, that they are scattered upon all the hills, and they've been abused, and they've been mistreated. And they're lacking good nourishment and protection from the wolves. Jehovah says, Ezekiel 34:11, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock, just like Moses. As a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day that he is among the sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. So God's going to do it. He's going to go after them. He's going to retrieve them, these lost sheep. And he's going to bring them back to himself. But then we notice in verses 23 and 24 that something unique develops. Beginning at verse 22, therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle, and I will set up one shepherd over them. He shall feed them, even my servant David. Now here's a little bit of a quiz, young people. Who was first, Ezekiel or David? I think you know the answer to that question. Ezekiel was much later than David. David has served his generation. He has been interred into the tomb. He's dead and gone, but God is saying, I will set up one shepherd over them. He shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, my servant David, prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. What's God doing here? He's giving a clear prophecy about the Messiah, isn't he? Who would be of the line of David. Jehovah says, I will shepherd my sheep, I will gather them, and I will raise up one shepherd, even my servant David, and he shall shepherd them, he will pasture them. If anything, these are major hints that the Lord is dropping, showing that he will, in the person of Christ, the son of David, be their shepherd. And so to the Israel of God, living in the days of Jesus Christ, when Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And know my sheep and are known of mine. It didn't offend them. It didn't offend them at all. All the pieces of the puzzle were now coming together. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. But the Lord my shepherd is David's son. And now here he is. He is the good shepherd. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. Son of God and Son of Man, and the true and the good shepherd of that new covenant flock, both Jew and Gentile, not only of the lost sheep of the house of Israel, whom he came to seek and to save, but other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also must I bring. Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep by his nature and office. Now, second, he is that great shepherd of the sheep by his saving works performed, by his saving works performed in and behalf of the flock. Well, what does a shepherd do? He, among other things, he gathers his sheep. And that's what Jesus does. He gathers the sheep. In the Old Testament, God's people, because of their sin, had been scattered. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. They were scattered from the pasture of Canaan because of their disobedience. All we like sheep have gone astray. And so they are driven as a punishment from the safety, from the protection of the Good Shepherd. But the Lord, by the prophet Ezekiel, speaks comfortably. I'm going to go and I'm going to gather you from all those places where you were scattered, where you were driven. I'm going to search out my sheep. I'm going to climb the rocks. I will lower myself into the pits. I will ford the streams. I will brave the terrors of the night and the heat of the day. I will find my sheep. I will gather them. And isn't that what Jesus did during his earthly ministry when he came? He came to Matthew the tax collector. And he said, follow me. Follow me. When he came to the fisherman, and he said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me. When he went into Jericho, and he was looking for one sheep in particular. That was one sheep that the Father had given to him. Now, was he a likely choice, friends? You know him, Zacchaeus. He was a bad man, boys and girls. He wouldn't have been your pick or mine. But he was one of Christ's. And so he goes straight to that sycamore tree and he casts his eyes up into the branches and he sees that little man Zacchaeus and he says, Zacchaeus, Make haste and come down, for today I must abide, I must dine at your house. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's who he is. He's the great shepherd of the sheep, and his office means that he is the gatherer, the seeker, and the saver of his sheep. And that's what he's done with us. We didn't seek him. He sought us. Isn't there an ocean of grace in these words from the prophet? I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. That's grace. When we're running away from God, that he runs after. Certain sinners, he goes after them. He searches wherever they are. He goes wherever they are, however badly they have gotten themselves caught up in the thicket and in the thorns of sin and misery. That's what he does. Oh, bless his name. And you, people of God, be blessed today. Be blessed this afternoon. Don't leave this place without being blessed. Because the God of peace, through that great shepherd of the sheep, blesses you. And if you are wandering from him, because that's what sheep do best, then slow down and let him catch you. And don't tempt him to abandon you. And if you've not yet been gathered, if you've not come, he's now gathering. He's now seeking. He's seeking right now. Dear friends, he's seeking sinners. And he calls sinners, come, see your danger, see your lack, see your emptiness, see your folly, and the certain ruin into which you are wandering. Come. Come now into the green pastures. Come now beside the still waters. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, make you perfect in every good work. Come. And as you are able, come not alone. Draw others with you. Be a means by which the shepherd draws others. Come, see a man who told me everything that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? What did you say? That he's from Nazareth? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Come and see. And that's what happens when we are gathered, is that within us is placed this impulse to gather others, to use whatever influence that we might possibly have. Then will I teach thy ways unto those that transgressors be, and those that sinners are shall then be turned unto thee. How do I do it? Well, so much can be said, but don't miss this. Tell them what you know. You may not know much, but tell them what you do know. Commend the great shepherd. Bring them into that place where Christ gathers his flock. Oh, this also should serve especially as an admonition to those who are appointed by office to be gatherers. We must go. We must seek and save that which is lost. We must be moved with compassion and pity in our hearts. As Boston said, consider, he wrote to pastors, that such are in a perishing condition where no vision is, the people perish. They are ignorant. No wonder they have none to instruct them. They have lean souls. No wonder they have none to break the bread of life to them. They wander from God's way. They have none to watch over them. And so the devil takes his opportunity. Oh, may all those who are ordained to office in the ministry of the gospel go and not wait for them to come. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, the great shepherd of the sheep, gathers his sheep and he separates his sheep. When he calls them, yes, he calls them to his care, to the flock, to the safety, but at the same time, he separates them from the world, from the flesh, from the devil. He calls them out that they may come in and to leave all that behind. He separates them unto the flock of Christ and unto the realm of his holy rule. Interestingly, the imagery of the shepherd in the Old Testament was often given to kings. They were shepherds over the flock of their nation. Even the heathens spoke of their kings in this way. Homer spoke of Agamemnon as the shepherd of his people. Well, what is it that demonstrates Christ's rule over us in the imagery of the shepherd? Well, the rod and the staff. He rules over us. And so when we heed his call, we say yes to his rule, yes to his government. We say no to myself. That's done. And my sinful ways and my sinful friends and the sinful patterns of thinking and acting, all of that's done. I'm leaving it behind. Friend, the only way for you to consider yourself as a sheep is to make a clean break. A clean break with the world, the flesh, and the devil. Jesus calls, and it's a glorious invitation, but he's also calling us to cut off the right hand and to pluck out the right eye. He calls us to the cross. He calls us to separation. He calls us to be holy, for he is holy. Oh, you who are the flock of Christ, be holy. You have come out. Stay out. Don't slide back in. And that's how it usually happens. Those who turn away from Christ, it's a slow, sometimes imperceptibly slow process. Come out. Be separate from wicked practices. Be separate from wicked company. Be separate from wicked pleasures and wicked amusements. Often that's a way by which our hearts are drawn into the world is what do we put before our eyes? How do we amuse and entertain ourselves? Well, by an unhealthy, excessive exposure to unclean and worldly things, we become desensitized. The good good shepherd even now. He is calling us once again, and he is renewing that call to us from the Lord's Supper. I've fed you. I've cared for you. Now, be holy, for I am holy. Be separate. And separation may mean slightly different things for each one of us based upon our own unique temptations. For some of us, it may be that we have to be separate from vain imaginations and science, falsely so called. For some, it is especially the temptations to the body. But be assured, when Jesus calls us to separation, he's calling us to separation for our good. Because he knows that we'll be ruined if we go back there. And right now, if you've not yet come to Christ and he is calling you to be separate, know that he is calling you out of these things for your good. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. The great shepherd manifests himself by his saving works performed, gathering his sheep, separating his sheep, guiding his sheep. He leads us. He leads us in the way that we should go. He does that especially by his word. We read the word of God privately and in families. We come to church and we hear the word of God. That's Jesus shepherding his flock. He's saying, the way home, it's tricky. I need you to follow me. I need you to stay close behind me. Listen to my voice. You know my voice. You don't know the voice of a stranger. You won't follow them. You don't recognize that voice, but you know mine. So follow it. Follow me, and I will guide you. Even where the decisions are not obvious, he gives us enough principles in his word for us to apply to the particular questions and the decisions of life that we have. And the great shepherd also guides his sheep by the Spirit which he has given them. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The great shepherd protects his sheep. He guards them. He sees the wolf coming and he doesn't run away like the hireling. He protects. He says, Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. No one can take my people out of my hand. Oh, he will keep you. He will keep you to the end. You won't be able to keep yourself many a time, but he will keep you. He will be watching even when your eyelids get heavy, when you cannot watch and pray, though you should. When the enemy is picking off one after the other, he will be a wall of fire around you. He will keep you. He will defend you. He will not allow you to be tempted above that which you can bear. He is that great shepherd of the sheep. He gathers. He separates. He guides, he protects, he dies for his sheep. And this is intimated in the prophecies as well. Zechariah 13:7, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. And so we read from the words of Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Erskine speaks of that prophecy in Zechariah. Vindictive justice is displayed in its utmost severity against Christ. The sword is drunk in his blood to infinite satisfaction. He has died for us. The great shepherd, however, is raised again for the sheep. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. He's not a martyr that we've celebrated. We don't have little shrines erected to his memory. Oh no, he is alive. The shepherd, the man that is God's fellow, who has taken the sword, he is alive. He is raised for his sheep, and they are therefore guaranteed everlasting life. Because he lives, we live also. And last, the great shepherd judges the sheep. That is, at that final day, the shepherd shall appear. And whatever mixing up there may be in this world, the great shepherd shall separate one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. So be of good cheer. He is risen, and he has gone to the right hand of the Father. He is ruling from heaven. And he will call you at the last day, and he will acknowledge you at the last day. He will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And how this will be music to our ears. Let us remember. Let us remember that Jesus said that I will not partake of the fruit of the vine again until I eat it new with you in the kingdom. He is preparing a place for us. That where he is, there we may be also. And he will openly acknowledge and acquit us in the day of judgment and make us perfectly blessed in the full enjoying of God to all eternity. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Please rise. O Lord, we are thy flock and the sheep of thy pasture. And we praise thy great name for loving us and calling us, separating us, guiding us, keeping us, dying for us, rising again, and giving us the assurance that thou wilt return in judgment to our good. Please now send us with thy blessing, we pray. We ask it in the Redeemer's name. Amen. Close by singing from Psalm 72, verses 16 through 19, to the tune Effingham to number 57. Psalm 72, verses 16 through 19. Of corn and handful in the earth on tops of mountains high, with prosperous fruit shall shake like trees on Lebanon that be. Please rise to receive the benediction and go in peace. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.